All right, Jerusalem, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Beis, and we're actually starting from the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. So again, remember, the Mishnah says the following. Say the brachos. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss the order of the Shemona Esrei and Rosh Hashanah, specifically again the Musaf Shemona Esrei. So say the brachos. This is the order of the brachos in Shemona Esrei. Omer Avos uGvuros uKedushas Hashem. You begin with the bracha of Avos. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Gvuros ato gibor v'olam Hashem mechayim meisim ato uKedushas Hashem. So Kedushas Hashem, of course, is the bracha that begins ato kadosh uShimcha kadosh. You are holy. Your name is holy. The Kodo Malchios Imahem. And we include the bracha of Malchios, which remember is the bracha that makes reference to God's monarchical identity, together with the bracha of Kiddushas Hashem. The Eino Tokea, however, again, we do not blow the shofar with Malchios. Kiddushas Hayom, Vitokea, we then recite Kiddushas Hayom, and we blow the shofar. Zichronos, we then recite the section of Zichronos, which again is a section that makes reference to the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything. Vitokea, Shofros, Vitokea. We recite Shofros, and then we blow the shofar as well. Va'omer Hoda, Avoda, Vahoda, Ubirkas Kohanim. And then we recite Avoda, which of course is Ritzei, Hoda, which is Modim, and Birkas Kohanim, which is Elokeinu V'Elokei Avosinu, right? Baruchinu Baruch Ham Shlash Espatorah, where we actually recite the priestly blessing. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say these are the words of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Akiva says, one second. In Rabbi Yochanan's model, something very interesting happens, which is that we recite the bracha of Malchios, which refers to God's monarchical identity, but we do not blow the shofar in Malchios, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Yuri. So Rabbi Akiva says, one second, why not? If you're not blowing the shofar by Malchios, then what exactly is Malchios doing in Shmona Esrei? And Rabbi said, what Rabbi Akiva is actually asking is, why is Malchios treated differently than Zichronos and Shofaros? Ella, rather, says Rabbi Akiva, this is the model for Shmona Esrei. And in fact, this is Halacha Lemaisa. This is how we pass him. Ella Omer Avos, so according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi said, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We started the Mishnah, we're now six lines down from the top of the page. So Lamahu Maskir, excuse me, Ella Omer Avos, Ugvuros, Ukedushas Hashem. So Rabbi Akiva, again, Shemona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah begins the same way that Shemona Esrei does throughout the year. Avos, again, the first bracha makes reference to the patriarchs. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Second bracha, Gvuros, Ato Gibor, the Olam Hashem, Mechayi Mesim, Ato Rav Lahoshia. That's the section that ends Mechayi HaMesim. Ukedushas Hashem. And the section that begins with Ato Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh. Okay. V'kolel Malchios and Kedushas Hayom. Now the bracha of Malchios is included in the bracha of Ato Kadosh, which I will say is why, interesting enough, you know that when we start on Rosh Hashanah, when you start Ato Kadosh, so remember again, that's a big bracha. You don't actually end with HaMelech HaKadosh until later on. So you include Malchios with Kedushas Hayom, Vitokea, and you sound the shofar. And I will say, also understand, the Gemara doesn't talk about this explicitly, but understand also that there were different customs over time. You see, there were customs that actually blew the shofar, still to this day, during the silent Shemona Esrei as well. See, we don't do that. We go ahead and we blow the shofar before Shemona Esrei and during Chazaras Hashatz. But again, but there were communities, Mr. Martin, are you familiar with this? So the communities... Right, so their community, again, by the briskers, it's a big thing that they go at 100%. The brisker, I'm saying it's not as common today to find it, but Sfarim do it also during Sanash Monastery. Okay, so that's also what's being referenced to over here. So according to the Akiva, so you go to, you include Malchios in Kiddushas Hayom, in the Rechavat HaKadosh, you blow the shofar, Zichronos Vitokea, Zichronos and you blow the shofar, Shofros Vitokea, recite the section of Shofros, and you blow the shofar. Va'omer Avoda v'Hoda Abirkas Kohanim. And you recite again Avoda, which again I will say is Ritzei, Hoda, which is Modim, Birkas Kohanim, and that is Shmona Esrei. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Akiva, So let's remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva responded to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not blowing the shofar by Malchios, then why are you reciting Malchios? So the Gemara says, Lama hu maskir, Rachmana amar itker. To which the Gemara feels that Rabbi Akiva's line of questioning is somewhat out of line. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not blowing the shofar during Malchios, then why should you even mention Malchios? Why should you mention Malchios, says the Gemara? We already established earlier that Malchus actually is a biblical directive, it's a rabbinic directive, but it's based on biblical sources. So we blow Malchus, excuse me, so we recite Malchus, so to speak, because the Chodesh Baruch Hu told us to. To which the Gemara says, no, Lamu maski rachman amar. So the Gemara says, itgar ella lama eser lema tisha dahoil v'ishtani ishtani. To which Rabbi Akiva was really saying the following. Rabbi says, we're going to see in just a little bit. So each of the sections of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are made up of 10 psukim each. To which the Gemara says that what Rabbi Akiva was really saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is if Malchios is different to begin with, then why not go ahead and recite 9 psukim? Right? When it comes again, we normally will say 10 psukim. If Malchios, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, is already different, that you're not blowing the shofar, why not only recite 9 psukim? The whole ishtini, ishtini. Once it's changed, it's changed. Ten Rabbanan. So we'll say that's the kasha that Rabbi Akiva is asking Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Ten Rabbanan. Minayin sha'omrim avos. Now the Gemara just kind of goes on a little bit of a Shmona Esrei discussion. From where do we know that we begin Shmona Esrei with the bracha of avos? How do we know that we, truth is, that's not really what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara Masechas Brachos has a discussion as to the order of the brachos. Here the Gemara is asking, from where do we know, where do we find a scriptural allusion that we say these types of brachos? So the Gemara says, for example, minayin sha'omrim avos. How do we know that we should have a bracha where we make mention of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, Havu LaHashem b'ne'ilim, literally give praise to Hashem, the sons of the great ones. And we understand, Rashi points out, that the Elim, the sons of the great ones, is a reference to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Therefore, we make reference to the Avos and Shmona Esrei. U'minayin sh'omrim givuros, and how do we know that we say the bracha of givuros? So how do we know about that we make mention of the fact of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness? And remember, that greatness, that strength, I should say, we make reference to it in different ways. We say, Mashiv Aruach u'morid ha-geshem, God brings the rain. We say, Mechayim Meisim Ato, that you are the one who resurrects the dead. So how do we know that we say the bracha of givuros? Shene'emar, Havu LaHashem Kavod Va'oz. Literally give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavod, speak about his glory and speak about his strength. U'minayin sh'omrim kiddushos. And how do we know that we say a bracha of kiddusha atar kadosh shimcha kadosh, that you got our holy? Shene'emar, Havu LaHashem Kavod Shemo, Hishtachavu LaHashem Behadras Kodesh. Because right after the pasuk says, give honor to the covet of HaKadosh Baruch, to the covet of his name. The Torah says, so the pasuk says, bow down, prostrate yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his holy place. And how do we know that we recite the brachos of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros in Rosh Hashanah? Rabbi Lazar, he says, Dichsiv Shabbason Zichron Trua. Because he says, the pasuk says, it shall be a Shabbason, literally a Shabbos, Zichron Trua, a remembrance of the Trua, Mikra Kodesh, a holy convocation. So the Gemara says, we darshan each of these words. Shabbason. What does Shabbason mean? Ze kiddusha sayom. This refers to the kiddusha of the day. Zikaron. Eile zichronos. This refers to the bracha of zichronos. Shur Nabosa, when we say kiddusha sayom, that refers to the section of Shmona Esrei that just speaks about the essence of the day itself. So zikaron. Eile zichronos. Trua. Eile shofros. Mikra Kodesh, what does Mikra Kodesh mean? Katsheu ba'asiyas malacha. That's the Torah giving us the directive not to do malacha on Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Akiva says, one second. Mipnei ma lo ne'emar shabason, shivus sheba, pasach ha-kosuf t'chila. So Rabbi Akiva says like this. Rabbi Akiva says that I think you're dashing the pasuk a little bit incorrectly, that why not say that shabason, which is the opening word of the phrase, why doesn't Shabbason refer to Isra Malacha? Right? Shabbason should refer to the concept that we don't do Malacha on Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah. Ella, then Rabbi Akiva reinterprets the pasuk and he says the following: Ella Shabboson. What does the word Shabboson mean? Kadshe ba'asiyas malacha. Sanctify it through not doing any kind of malacha. Zikaron. Zikaron means Ela Zikronos. This refers to the bracha of Zikronos. Trua Ela Shofros. Trua refers to Shofros. Mikra Kodesh Zo Kiddusha Sayom. And Mikra Kodesh refers to the bracha of Kiddusha Sayom. Okay. Minayin Shomrim Malchios. So from where do we know that we recite Malchios? Tanya Rebbe Omer Rebbe says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ubachodesh Hashvi'i, Zu Malchus. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so Rebbe sees the juxtaposition between the Psukim. So the juxtaposition between the Psukim is the pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem, your God. And actually right afterwards it says, Ubachodesh Hashvi'i, in the seventh month, which of course is a reference to the month of Tishrei. Therefore, again, we see from here that on the seventh month in Tishrei, there is this obligation to make this declaration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says, Eino tzarech harehu omer v'hayu lachem lezikarom lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Because the pasuk says, they will be for you a remembrance before Hashem your God. She'ein tamad lomar ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because the pasuk need not say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. All the pasuk needs to say is what? V'hayu lachem lezikaron. Obviously, it's the Nei Hashem Elokeichem. Because remember, the end of that pasuk also says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So it's incredibly repetitive. You have Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why both? So the Gemara says, Uma Talmud Lomar Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So why does it have to say, I am Hashem, your God? Zeh Bona Av L'chol Makom. This becomes what's called, we'll say, a binyan av. A binyan av means, essentially, it creates a paradigm. What's the paradigm? Zeh bana av l'chol makom. Shene'emar bo zichronos, yihiyu malchios imahem. What does this teach us? This teaches us that wherever there is a zikaron, there also has to be a declaration of Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Now, Ani Hashem Elokeichem we understand to be a declaration of malchios, of God's kingship. So therefore, because the pasuk links these two concepts, v'hayu lachem lezikaron, it will be for your remembrance, Ani Hashem Elokeichem teaches us that wherever there is a reference ultimately to zichronos, to God's remembering things, there always must be a declaration of God's monarchical identity as well. Okay, v'heichan omra, the Kiddusha Sayom. And where do we recite Kiddusha Sayom, the bracha of speaking about the sanctity of the day? Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Ima Malchios Omra. Rabbi says that we recite Kiddusha Sayom together with Malchios. Ma Matzinu B'chol Makom B'Revi'is. Now why is that? Because what do we see under normal circumstances? Under normal circumstances, the bracha of Kiddusha Sayom is said in the fourth bracha in Shemona Esrei. Afkan B'Revi'is, so to on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is no different, and we're going to go ahead and make it as part of the fourth bracha. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Ima Zichronos. No, we recite it together with Zichronos. Why? Ima Zichronos Omra. Ma Matzino B'chol Makom Be'emtza. Because they will say, what do we see normally? Where does Kiddush HaSayom occur? Kiddush HaSayom occurs in the middle of Shemona Esrei. Afkan, so too over here in Rosh Hashanah, by putting it with Zichronos, ultimately you'll put it in the middle. So what the Gemara is discussing over here is trying to figure out the placement of Kiddush HaSayom. So the question is, do you look for a chronological placement or do you look for we'll call it the textual placement? So if you look for the chronological placement, so it's Kiddush HaSayom is normally the fourth bracha. So too you should put in the fourth bracha over here on Rosh Hashanah, which will put it together with Malchios. On the other hand, if you're looking for a textual placement, normally Kiddush HaSayom is the middle of Shemona Esrei, right? So too over here you could put it in the middle as well, but that would put it with Zichronos. And I will say, obviously, we know we pass like Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, and therefore we include the bracha of Malchios right with Kiddush HaSayom. This is very interesting. When Beis Din sanctified the new year in Usha, which also means when Beis Din declared Rosh Hashanah in Usha, remember we saw yesterday that Usha was one of the places that the Sanhedrin relocated to during its 10 different periods of relocation. So when the Beis Din declared the new year, Rosh Hashanah, in Usha, Yar Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Lithin Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch davened for the Amid, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was there, Va'asak Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, And he did like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So the Rosa, that goes back to the Mishnah. So what does it mean? He did like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. And he went ahead and he said, Brachos, Avos, Kvuros, excuse me, Avos, Kvuros, Kedushas Hashem. And then again, Malchios with it, without blowing the shofar. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimon, Lo Hayu Noagin Kein Biafna. So Rav Shimon, so here Rav Shimon Gamliel saying, you know, this is not the way we conducted ourselves in Yavne. Remember, Yavne was the previous stop before Usha. So the Yom HaShini, on the second day, now we'll say what this sounds like is the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We'll try to clarify this in just a moment. Yom HaShini, Yorad Rabbi Chanina Benosh Rabbi Yossi HaKlili. Rabbi Chanina, the son of Rabbi Yossi HaKlili, davened for the Amid. Va'asak Rabbi Akiva, and he conducted himself like Rabbi Akiva. Like Rabbi Akiva, namely, Avos Gvuros Kedushas Hashem. Malchios with Kedushas Hayom, but again blowing the shofar by Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. So Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Kach hayu noagin b'yavna. Oh, this is how we conducted ourselves in Yavna. So the Gemara says, L'neimra, do Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, to Rabbi Akiva, Sirolai? Now, is this to say that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds like Rabbi Akiva? V'ha'am Rabbi Akiva, Malchios in Kedushas Hayom? But yet Rabbi Akiva is on record as saying that Malchios is recited with Kedushas Hayom. Amar lehu, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kedushas Hayom ima zichronos, Amar lehu. But yet we know Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, that's what? That Kedushas Hayom is said with zichronos, is not said with Malchios. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, lomar shetokin Malchios. No. When we say that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds like Rabbi Akiva, what does that mean? That he holds like Rabbi Akiva in terms of tkiya shofar. That just like Rabbi Akiva holds that there is tikios, there are tikios that are sounded by Malchios, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also holds that there are tikios sounded by Malchios. So the Gemara says, Liyoma Sheni Yarad Rabbi Chanina. Remember now, the story recorded that Rabbi Chanina davened for the Amid on the second day. So the Gemara says, My Sheni, what does that mean, second day? Ilema Yom Tov Sheni. If you want to say that it's talking about the second day, literally Yom Tov Sheni, because they're supposed to remember, you could technically have even a second day of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael, right? Rosh Hashanah is the only Yom Tov where you could technically have a Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael as well. L'neimar da'avru al Elul, is that to say that they made Elul a 30-day month? So the Gemara, because we'll say that would be the only way that you'd end up having a second day of Rosh Hashanah. V'ha'am Rabbi Chanina Barkana, mimos Ezra ve'ilech l'matzinu le'elul mu'ubar. But yet we learn, Rabbi Chanina bar Kahana said that from the days of Ezra and on, we have never found, there has never been an Elul that has been Mu'ubar. There has never been an Elul that has had 30 days. Rav Chista, my Sheni, Rav Chista therefore says, what does it mean, Sheni? Liyom Sheni, the Shana Haba. So we'll say, Yom Sheni means the next davening. But the next davening was when? The next davening was the following year. So they call it Yom Sheni. What they really mean is, L'shana Hashem is in the second year where this was happening. So Rabbi Chanina bar Kahana went to go. Not Rabbi Chanina bar Kahana.
Son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili
went down to daven. So again, Yom Sheni here doesn't mean Yom Tov Sheni, but rather again, Yom Sheni over here means the next year on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, says the Mishnah. Ein pochasin me'asara malchios, me'asara zichronos, or me'asara shofros. And I will say, in these three sections of malchios, zichronos, and shofros, these are comprised of psukim. The Mishnah now says, we do not say less than 10 psukim in the malchios section, in the zichronos section, and in the shofros section. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says, im amar gimel mikulan yotze. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says, if you say three of each, it sounds like what he's saying is if you say three in each section, then that is enough. So the Gemara says, Hani asara malchios kineged mi. Why 10? Why 10? Meaning, where does the Mishnah get that 10 is the magic number for the psukim of malchios, zichronos, and shofros? To which the Gemara says, literally, Hani asara malchios kineged mi means, who do the 10 of malchios correspond to? So the Gemara says, kineged mi amar. Kenegin mi Amar Rebbe, Kenegin Asara Hilulim Sha'amar David B'Sefer Tehillim. It corresponds to the 10 Halalukas that David said in Tehillim. So the Twitch Gemara says, Hilulim Tuva Havu Hanach. Hilulim Tuva Havu. Twitch Gemara says, what are you talking about? There are much more, many more than 10 Halalukas. To which the Gemara says, Hanach Tichsiv Bahu Haluhu Beseka Shofar. So there are 10 halalukas that make reference to shofar. So corresponding to the 10 halalukas that make reference to shofar, this becomes the model ultimately for 10 psukim in each of the supplementary sections in Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says the following. Rav Yosef says, Keneged Esar Sadibros Shene Emru Lo Lemoshe B'Sinai, that where does the number 10 come from? It corresponds ultimately to the 10 commandments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe at Har Sinai. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kineged Asara Ma'amoros Shebahen Nivra Ha'olam. To which Rabbi Yochanan says, it corresponds to the 10 Ma'amoros, literally the 10 statements with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. To which the Gemara says, Heininu. So first of all, what are the 10 Ma'amoros of Bereshis? Vayomer. So we'll say, it's actually very interesting that he's actually quoting over here from the Gemara in Meseches Megillah, where the Gemara discusses that the world was created with 10 ma'amaros, 10 statements. Essentially, every single time it says, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rakia. Those are ma'amaros, those are divine statements. The world was created with a total of 10 divine statements. To which the Gemara says, Vayomer the Bereshis Tesavu. But if you go through Bereshis, you're only going to find 9 Vayomers, to which the Gemara says, Bereshis Nami Ma'amarhu. Well, you have to understand that Bereshis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Es Haaretz is also one of the Ma'amaros. That is also one of the statements of creation. The Chsiv, as the Pasuk says, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Na'asu. Through the word of God, the heavens were created. Okay, so we'll say, so obviously, you know, the Gemara doesn't mean literally that, the point over here is that the 10 is obviously something that the rabbis came up with. All the Gemara is trying to figure out is why 10, to which the Gemara is pointing out that 10 is a symbolic number for a variety of different reasons. That's why the rabbis chose it, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri Omer, Im Amar Shalosh Shalosh Mikulon Yatsam. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says, if you only said 3, in E3 psukim in each section, then that is enough. Your Yotze. Ibay lehum, to which the Gemara asks, Hechi katani shalosh min haTorah, hechi katani. What does Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri mean? Shalosh min haTorah, shalosh min haNeviim, v'shalosh min haKesuvim, dahavu teisha, v'ika ben echad. So we'll say, there are two ways to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri's statement. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says, Im amar gimel gimel mikulon yotza, what does that mean? So we know that the way it normally works by Malchios, Zichros, and Shofros is that we try to take 3 psukim from the Torah, 3 psukim from the Nevi'im, 3 psukim from the Ksuvim, and we'll see that we end off with one additional pasuk from the Torah for a total of 10 psukim. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is saying, well, you don't need 10. You just need 3 from Chumash, 3 from Navi, and 3 from Ksuvim, in which case you have 9 for each section, in which case Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is only arguing about what? About one pasuk. That's one possibility. O Dilmo, or maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is saying, Echad min haTorah, ve'echad min haNevi'im, ve'echad min haKesuvim, or maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, when he says 3, means what? No, 1 from Torah, 1 from Navi, 1 from Ksuvin, and that's the total. And therefore, again, he actually has a 7 pasuk difference between himself and the Tanakhama. Tashma, so we learned. Disanyo. Ein pochesin me'asara malchios, me'asara zichronos, o me'asara shofros. We learned that you may not recite less than 10 psukim from Malchios, 10 psukim v'zichronos, 10 psukim v'shofros, v'im amar sheva mikulon yotza. But if you said 7 from each, you are yotze. To keneged shiva rakim, corresponding to the 7 heavens, the 7 rakim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says, hapoches lo yifchos misheva. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri agrees, he says, you may not say less than 7. To which the Gemara says, now, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says 7 over here, v'im amar shalosh mikulon, if you want to say that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri was saying 3 of each, meaning 3 from Torah, 3 from Nevi'im, 3 from Ksuvim. So, excuse me, v'im amar shalosh mikulon yatza keneged Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. V'im amar shalosh mikulon. I just lost the place. Lo yifchos misheva. I'm sorry. And let's stop over there for just a moment. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri Omer, hapoches lo yifchos misheva. The Rabbi said, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says that you should not say less than 7 answers our question. How? Look at Rashi. Lo yifchos misheva. V'im sakadai tcha. And if you would think, shalosh min haTorah, v'shalosh min haNevi'im, v'shalosh min haKesuvim, l'chol. Im kim sheva nami sheva min haTorah v'sheva min haNeviim v'sheva min haKsuvim. Havi Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Mosif. Now, boss, listen to this. So now, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that you may not say less than seven, so if you want to say that seven means what? Seven per section. That would then mean that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying 21 psukim per section. That can't be. Rather, it must be that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying total seven. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says total seven. Over here, so too in the Mishnah, when he says gimel gimel mikulan yasa, what is he in fact saying? He's in fact saying three from Malchios, three from Shofros, three from Zichronos, total. Total. To which the Gemara says, ve'im amar shalosh mikulan yatsa. And if you say a total, so remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position is, if you say a total of three psukim, a total from Malchios of three, a total from Zichronos of three, a total from Shofros of three, then you are Yotze. Where does the three come from? Kineget Torah Nevi'im uksuvim. So the three corresponds to Tanakh. Va'amrila kineget kohanim Levi'im v'Yisraelim. And another say it corresponds to kohanim Levi'im v'Yisraelim. Amr Rafuna said, Amr Shmuel, Halacha k'Rab Yochanan Benuri, that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Benuri. And everyone say, in fact, that it's true, b'di'evet, if you recited only three psukim from Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, technically you would say, but halacha l'mais, we try to follow the opinion of the Tanakhama in the Mishnah that says what? 10 psukim for each section of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and that's how our tefillos are set up today. Says the Mishnah, Ein maskirin, Shofar, well, actually, Zichron, Malchus, Shofar, Shalparanos. But I will say, in the psukim that we quote from Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, we try not to quote any pasuk that has a negative connotation. So any pasuk that has a negative connotation, we don't quote. Maschil b'Torah, we begin with psukim from the Torah. Umashlim b'Navi, and we conclude with psukim of Navi. And again, Navi in this case means Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Rabbi Yossi says, Imashli b'Torah yatsa, if you instead decided to finish off the section of the bracha with a pasuk from Torah, you are still Yotze. Amud Beis. So the Gemara says the following, Malchios. Now, what are some examples of psukim with negative connotations? Malchios, so for example, in Malchios, for example, Chayani ne'um Hashem Elokim, im lo biyad chazaka u'bizror netuya u'bechema shefucha em lo chaleim. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yechezkel, and Hashem says, I am Hashem, the living God, if not with my strong hand, my outstretched arm, chema shefucha means outpouring anger. I will rule over you, which means that sometimes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules over us, we experience his outpouring of anger. So such a pasuk like that, we would not quote on Rosh Hashanah. The Afa Gav Dav Rav Nachman is actually very profound. Even though Rav Nachman normally says, Kol ki hay rischa, lirsach kud shabrichu, v'lipurk v'lifrukinon. To which the Gemara says, even though Rav Nachman is of the opinion that says, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu get angry at us, and let him redeem us. Or in other words, that sometimes divine anger is in and of itself redemptive in nature, because it allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mete out whatever punishment we have coming to us, and then to be able to redeem us afterwards. So it's even though it's nevertheless, Kevan debresicha amor ad kuri rischa brei shasalamat kirinan. Since the pasuk explicitly talks about anger, so even according to Rav Nachman, the anger could have a positive benefit, and that is cathartic, it's redemptive, it's salvational. We don't make mention of divine wrath on Rosh Hashanah. Zikaron, what's an example of zikron, of ultimately of remembrance that has a negative connotation? Kigon, vayiskar kibasar hema, that God remembered in Tehillim, God remembered that they were only flesh. I will say again, the context of this pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we sin, but he remembers that we're only flesh and blood. Don't mention that on Rosh Hashanah. Shofar, kigon, tiku, shofar, begiva. So we'll say here the pasuk in Hosea, literally blow the shofar and give up, which the context over here is that the blow the shofar because our enemies are approaching. Prepare for war. About imba lomar malchus zichron the shofar shall parano shall ode kochavim omer. But you can recite psukim that speak about either Malchios, Zichronos, or Shofros, that speak about exacting retribution from the nations of the world. That you can do on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, for example, Malchus Kigon, Hashem Malach Yirgizu Amim. God reigns, let the nations tremble. Ukigon, Hashem Malach Olam Va'ed, Avdu Goyim Me'artso. God will rule eternally, and the nations will be lost from their lands. Zichron, kigon, zichor Hashem livnei Edom. God, remember for the children of Edom what they did to Yerushalayim. Shofar, kigon, v'Hashem Elokim b'shofar yitaka, v'halach b'sa'aros teimon. Literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sound the shofar, and he'll come in a storm through teimon. Uksiv, Hashem tzavakos yogin aleihem. The Lord of hosts will ultimately overcome them. So we'll say again, even though we don't make mention of a pasuk of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros by Poronos, by negative something towards Klal Yisrael, but we can quote Psukim that speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to exact retribution from the nations of the world. The Gemara goes weiter. In Maskirin, Zichron Shal Yochid, V'afil L'Tova. We do, when finding Psukim for Zichronos, for remembrance, we don't use Psukim that only make reference to remembrance of individuals. The remembrance theme is already always focused on the collective. V'afilu l'tova, and even if it's a good remembrance, still if it's individualized, we don't use it. For example, kigon, zochreini Hashem birtzon amecha. Here, he's quoting the pasuk from Tehillim. Remember me, Hashem, with the will, with the goodwill of your people. So again, because it's phrased in a singular, we won't use it. Ukigon, zochra li elokai l'tova. Remember me, my God, ultimately for good. Pikdonos, harein kizichronos. I will say, if you find psukim that use the lashon of pikadon, so like pokad, so the Gemara is suggesting that pokad is the same lashon of remembrance. It's the same lashon of zecher. Kigon, v'Hashem pakad esara. God remembered Sarah. Ukigon, pakod pakarati eschem. Or as the pasuk says, by Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people, Pakod Pakarati, I remember the people for salvation. Tiv Rabbi Yossi, these words Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Einon Kizichron. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Lashon of Pakad is different than the Lashon of Zikaron, of remembrance, and therefore, again, we don't use psukim that have Pikadon in them. So the Gemara says the following, Einon Kizichron, Ul Rabbi Yossi, Nehi Nami De Pikdonos, Harihin Kizichronos. To which the Gemara says, one second, according to Rabbi Yossi, even if you want to say that Pakad is like Zachar, same Lashon of remembrance, there's another reason you can't use Vahashem Pakad Asara, or Pakod, what was the other pasuk? No, not that one, that's plural. Okay, maybe there was another one. Vashem Pakad Asara. So we can't use that for a different reason, which is what? Which is it's singular. And we just got finished saying just a moment ago that what? We do not use singular psukim. We only use plural psukim. To which the Gemara says, Kevan da osu rabim minei kirabim damya. To which the Gemara says, well, since many nations come through Sara Imenu, since there are multitudes that come from Sara, so too, again, even though it's phrased by the singular eras, Vashem Pakar Sara, it's considered to be a collective blessing, a collective remembrance. So the Gemara goes right to Kevan da osu rabim minei kirabim damya. Su'u sha'ori moshechem. Now the Gemara is going to quote another couple of psukim, and the Shaila is, How many remembrances or how many references of kingship they are supposed to represent? So say, for example, Su'u sha'arim roshechem, v'nas'u pischei olam, v'yavo melech hakavod. Literally open, lift up your heads, the gates, v'nas'u pischei olam, lift up the openings for all eternity, v'yavo melech hakavod, let the great king come through them. Mize melech hakavod, who is the king of great honor? Hashem izuz v'gibor, Hashem the mighty and valiant, Hashem gibor milchama. So the Gemara says, su shar moshechem, su pischelam, v'yavo melech hakavod, mize melech hakavod, Hashem tzvakos, u'melech hakavod selah. Rishona, the first phrase, shtayim, counts as two mentions of kingship. Shnia shalosh, the second phrase, counts as three mentions of kingship. So just technically speaking, if you were to go ahead and use this pasuk, technically one could squeeze out five monarchical mentionings out of one pasuk over here. Div Rabbi Yossi, this is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Huda says, Rishon Achos, no, the first phrase only counts for one mention of kingship. Shnia Shtayim, the second phrase counts for two. Zamra Elokim Zameru, Zamru Lemakinu Zameru. Literally, sing to my God. Let us sing. Zamru lemalkinu zamiru. Let us sing, or let us play music to our King. Let us sing. Ki malach kala aretz elokim. So the Gemara says the following: Ki malach ki malach kala aretz elokim. Shtayim div Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says this pasuk counts as two mentions of kingship. Rabbi Huda says achos v'shavin b'malach elokim al koy agoyim. He's quoting over here now the pasuk from Tillim again. Malach elokim al goyim. Elokim yashav al kisei kasho. She achos. Everyone agrees that this pasuk only counts as one mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship. Okay, zikaron sheyesh bo trua. I will say, what happens if you have a pasuk that has two elements? A pasuk that has zikaro, on one hand, remembrance, but it also has a mention of trua, of shofar. So, okay, go. For example, shabason zikron trua. For example, the pasuk of shabason zikron trua. So, they will say that pasuk has a reference of zikronos, memory, and also has a pasuk of what? A mention of what? Trua, which is shofar. So the shayla is what? The shayla is, where does that pasuk go, and what does it count towards? So which the Gemara says, omra ima zikronos, ver omra ima shofar. See, Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, the truth is, you have an option as to which section to use it in. You want to use it as part of zikronos, you can use it as part of zikronos. You want to use it as part of shofar, so you can use it as part of shofar. Use it wherever you want. Rabbi Huda says, no. Eino omra ella ima zichronos bilvad. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, says, no, you can only use it as part of zichronos. And I will say, we'll see the reason for that is because according to Rabbi Huda, he doesn't like just the word trua. For him, trua is not strong enough for it to be included in shofros. For us, pas to be including with shofros, what do you need? It has to say shofar. It has to say mam shofar. So he says, with this zichronos, use it in zichronos, not shofros. So the Gemara says, malchus sheyesh imo trua. What about, again, if you have a pasuk that mentions God's monarchical identity together with the mention of trua? Kigon, Hashem Elokav Imo. Hashem Elokav Imo. Because let's say the pasuk says over here, Hashem Elokav Imo, Utruas Melech Bo. So you have a mention, again, of God's identity as a monarch, as a king, and also, again, a mention of true of shofar. So, Omra Imam Malchios, Omra Imam Shofar, Steve Rabbi Yossi. So, again, Rabbi Yossi says, use it for whatever you want. You can use the pasuk for Malchios, you can use it for shofros. Rabbi Huda says, no, Eino Omra Elam Malchios Bilvad. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, says, no, you can only use it with Malchios. Trua, She'inima Loklum. What about if I have a pasuk that doesn't say shofar, but it says trua? But it says trua by itself, meaning no, it doesn't make a mention of Malchios. Doesn't make a mention of show of zichronos. Kigon yom tirua yihye lochem. The pasuk says it should be a day of trua. So omra ima shofros to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says you can use it in the shofros section. Rabbi Huda says no. Eino omra kil ikar. Rabbi Huda says no. You do not use it at all. Why? Because you see, according to Rabbi Huda, in order to be used for the shofros section, it mamish has to have explicit mention of shofros, and having a mention of trua is simply not enough. Maschil b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi. Rabbi Yossi Omer himshlim b'Torah yata. So also remember the Mishnah said that you begin with psukim of Torah and you conclude with psukim of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And Rabbi Yossi is in Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And Rabbi Yossi says, if you concluded with psukim from the Torah, you're Yotze. To which the Gemara says, imhishlim ti evet in lechat chilalo. Now, when Rabbi Yossi says, if you completed it with psukim of the Torah, what does that sound like? Sounds like Rabbi Yossi is saying is, b'di'evet, if you ended up concluding the sections of Tefillah with Psukim from Torah, you're Yotze. Which is strange, because, you know, even if you want to say the order is Torah and then Nevi'im and Ksuvim, why would it be a b'di'evet to finish with Psukim of the Torah? Meaning that should be a lechatchila also. To which the Gemara says the following. V'atanya, we learn, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hamashlu b'Torah ezeh meshubach. But yet elsewhere we learn that Rabbi Yossi says that if you indeed conclude the sections of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros with Psukim from the Torah, not only are you, it's not that it's Yotze, but what? It's actually praiseworthy, meaning that's the preferred approach. So which one is it? According to our Mishnah, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi is saying, Pidyevit Yotze. But according to the Braisa, it sounds like this is actually the preferred method according to Rabbi Huda, according to Rabbi Yossi, to which the Gemara says, Ema, Ema Mashlin. Rather say the way the Mishnah should read is that Rabbi Yossi should say, not in Hishlim, but rather what? Mashlim B'Torah. That no, Rabbi Yossi says you should finish off the sections of Torah. To which the Gemara says, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, "V'ha'im hishlim katani di'evet emechatchila lo." But that's not how the Mishnah reads. In fact, the way the Mishnah reads is that Rabbi Yossi is saying, "V'im hishlim, if you did conclude the section with psukim from Torah, then you are yotzei," which indicates b'di'evet yes, lechatchila no. To which the Gemara says, "No, no, no. Hachikamer. This is what it means to say, maschil b'torah umashlim b'navi. You in fact again begin with Torah and conclude with Navi." Rabbi Yossi says, "Mashlim b'torah. You should conclude with Torah." V'im hishlim b'navi yatsa. The way the Mishnah should read is what? Lechatchila, you should finish with Torah. But what? If you ended up concluding with psukim from the Nevi'im, you're yotzei. That's the b'di'evet. The b'di'evet is not on Torah. The b'di'evet is on the psukim of Nevi'im. Okay. Tanya Mihachir, Rice that supports this as well. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Elazar Rabbi Yossi says, Vasikin. They will say, Vasikin in this case means the devout ones. So the devout ones, hayu mashlimin osa b'torah. The devout ones would finish the sections of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros with psukim of the Torah. Bishlama Zichronos v'Shofros ikotuva. Then I will say, when it comes to the sections of Zichronos, God remembering, and Shofros, there are many psukim, Rabbi Yossi, from the Torah that make reference to these thematic ideas, and therefore, again, there's no shortage of psukim. Elamalchios, Tlasu Dahavyam. But the truth is, when it comes to psukim that refer to God's monarchical identity, the Gemara posits that the truth is there are only three psukim like that. There are only three psukim. What are the psukim? Hashem Elokav Yimo Truas Melech Bo, Vahi B'Shurin Melech, Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voed. So there are only three psukim that use this lashon of Melech, of Malach, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's monarchy. Va'anon Ba'inon Eser V'leka. And yet, we're saying we need a total of 10 psukim, and we don't have it. I understand. Now, you don't need a total of 10. What the Gemara now is suggesting is, L'maisef, we're saying that, according to Yossi, which is L'chatchil model, you want to end off with what? You want to end off with another pasuk from Torah. So the truth is, again, you need another pasuk. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Tashma, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Malchus, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So what I say is very interesting. So the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that God is one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God, this is also a pasuk of Malchus. This is a pasuk of Malchus. These are words of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Huda says, no, ain't a Malchus. It's not Malchus. However, v'yadato hayom v'hashevosa el levavecha ki Hashem hua Elokim ein od Malchus to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi also says that lashon of that you will know and you will take it to heart that Hashem is our God ein od, there is not another. Rabbi Yossi says also this pasuk also constitutes Malchus. Rabbi Huda says no, ain't a Malchus. Rabbi Huda says I'm sorry, that's not Malchus. Apparently, according to Rabbi Huda, the only psukim that count as Malchus are psukim that what? That literally say Melech. That literally say Melech. I'm sorry. Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh Torah? That's not Torah. Right, so correct. No, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, there's no shortage. Nevi'im and Ksuvim, we're totally good. Torah is where we run into a problem. Ato hare saladas, ki Hashem hua Elokim, ein od milvado. So we'll say, you see a theme over here. Rabbi Yossi seems to say, any psukim that seems to say this lashon of ein od, in Rabbi Yossi's view, that's also called Malchus. Rabbi Huda again says, Eina Malchus. So Rabbi Huda again says, no, that's not called Malchus. Okay, so the point is, according to Rabbi Huda, you do run into a problem with the lack of psukim, which could be, by the way, why in Rabbi Huda's model of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, you're doing 3, 3, and 3, and you're only keeping it limited to 3 psukim of Torah. According to Rabbi Yossi, he wants you to end with another pasuk of Torah, and therefore his definition of Malchus within the psukim of Torah is a little bit more expansive and includes even these lashonos of Ein od or echad, Mishnah. However, the fnei ateva, this is a very beautiful Gemara. Over the fnei ateva, biyom tov shal Rosh Hashanah, the one who davens for the amir. Over the fnei ateva is lashon of being the chazan. So the one who leads the services, the one who leads the tefilos on the yom tov of Rosh Hashanah, hasheni matkia. We'll say it is the second one who blows the shofar. Now we'll say it doesn't literally mean that the Baal Tefillah has to go out and blow the shofar. What it means is what? Shofar was sounded during Musaf. The shofar was not sounded during Shacharis. It was sounded during Musaf. Furthermore, u'bishas ha'halel, and when halel is recited, meaning not on Rosh Hashanah, other times the halel is recited, harishon mikmakra es ha'halel. It is the first one, i.e. the Baal Shachris, who recites Halal. So the Mishnah says, so therefore the Mishnah teaches us that again, we're, the, when it comes to Tkiyah Shofar is sounded by Mosaf. However, when it comes to Halal, Halal is recited by the Baal Shachris. To which the Gemara says, Maishna Sheni Maskia. Why is it that we delay? Meaning, why don't, see what I'm saying? Intuitively, you would go ahead and what? You would normally assume that when Tkiyah Shofar take place, in the morning, because of Zvizim Akdim L'Mitzvos, we always do everything in the morning. So why is it that we go ahead and we wait to do Shofar till the afternoon? So most of this is so interesting. Mishum Diberov Am Hadras Melech. Why? Because the greatest honor to God is when there is a large assembly. And I will say, what is the Gemara saying? People don't come on time to shul. So this is very affirming. You know, apparently Klal Yisrael has struggled with the same issues, right? So people don't come on time to shul. So what's going to happen if you blow the shofar in the morning? Guess what? You know, there's going to be the same 10 guys who are there at 9 o'clock. And what happens? And everyone else is not. Therefore, in order to ensure that the mitzvah isn't, because remember again, the mitzvah of shofar represents so many things. Among them, the coronation of the Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak. So to coronate God when you only have a little, scattering of people is not good. Therefore, we want to wait till the afternoon when the shul is full. Ihachi halel nami neima b'sheni. If that's the case, then why don't we also say halel, you know, so to speak, in Mosaf? Say halel also later in the tefillah in order berovam hadras melech. So why do we recite Halal earlier in the davening by Shachris? Why? Because again, we want to be zaruz, we want to be quick in the performance of mitzvos. So we'll say, you see over here, interesting enough, that you have like a tension between these two concepts. On one hand, again, we say, we want the largest number of people assembled for the performance of mitzvos. On the other hand, there is the concept of zrizos. So the Gemara is saying, I don't understand how you're applying each concept. You're telling me that you should daven halal in the morning because of zrizim makdimim mitzvos, yet you're going to push over to the afternoon because of berovam hadras melech. The greater the assembly, the greater the honor to God. But why not pull shofar back to the morning also and say zrizim makdimim mitzvos? To which the Gemara says, there's something else going on over here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'shas gezeres hamalchus. In reality, under normal circumstances, we would blow the shofar in the morning, but they had to move the shofar to the afternoon because of the decrees of Gentile governments. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says over here, "Bishas gezeras hamalchus shanu." So Rashi says, "Oivim gazru shelo yitaku v'hayu arvin lahem kol sheish shos lekeit tefilas shachris." So Rashi says, at different points in time, there were decrees against the blowing of shofar. So what happened? So apparently, again, the government would send out agents to see if shofar was being blown. So what happened? They assumed that if shofar was going to be blown, when was it going to be blown? In the morning. So what happened? So the Jews waited until, again, the governmental agents left, and they ended up blowing shofar in the afternoon. So apparently, again, this happened often enough, and this became the standard practice. Take a look at Tosos for just one moment. Tosos writes, "Bishas gezeres hamalchus shanu, ve'af api shebatla gezeres hamalchus lo avdinan kidme ikara." Now Tosos points out something very interesting. Obviously, we don't, Baruch Hashem, we don't have these decrees anymore. Despite the fact that we don't have these decrees anymore, nevertheless, what? The gzera itself, we still conduct ourselves like we did originally. Meaning, even though, again, one would have thought the gzera is over. Therefore, again, it would seem to me that what value should win out? Zrizin makdim in lemitzvos. Therefore, we should push shofar back earlier. But yet, we see that we don't. We still go ahead and blow the shofar in the afternoon. Afagav the zrizin makdim lemitzvos. Why? So why is that? Meaning, again, if we have a halachic comparative of Zrizin Makdim LeMitzvos and the Gzeira is no longer here, why not move Shofar back, to which the Gemara says, Techayshinan Shema Yachzir Davar LeKulkulo. We'll say it's quite an amazing thing about the mindset of the diaspora Jew. The mindset of the diaspora Jew is never get too comfortable. Never get too comfortable. Never be lulled into a false sense of security. You never know when things could revert back to what they were. Therefore, to go ahead and move shofar back to the morning, because Zvizim Makdim LeMitzvos would make it seem like what? Everything's okay. Right now, everything's okay, Baruch Hashem. But there's always the possibility that it might not be okay. Therefore, we leave it in the afternoon.
For the grove, Mefresmela is not really a consideration after all.
No, it is a consideration, but there's a more compelling consideration. There's a more compelling consideration. That consideration, again, was persecution. And again, what Tulsa is saying is that that compelling concern for persecution still stands. And it trumps Berov Am. If you finish Tosos, Ulupirush Yerushalmi, Tosos quotes a bit the Yerushalmi who says, Nechotfei, the Mefarisham, so the Yerushalmi has a different understanding of this. According to the Yerushalmi explains, the Mefarisham, Shadamu Ha'oivim, Shenis Asfu Litkoa Shruas Milchama, Va'umdu Aleim Vahargu, Hargum. So the Yerushalmi says, actually, it was a different episode. Now the Yerushalmi is not clear to us, doesn't tell us when this happened. But apparently at some point in time, what occurred was that the Jews were davening, and this must have been a time of where there was, you know, somebody else was ruling over us, whoever it was, whether it was the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, whoever it was, the Jews gathered together, and what happens? This is when they were still blowing the shofar in the morning. They blew the shofar. The Gentile government mistook the blowing of the shofar for what? A declaration of war, of rebellion. Remember, we had this past week's parasha. The blowing of the shofar is a call to war. They thought that the call of the shofar sounded a rebellion, and therefore what? There was huge massacres within the Jewish community. Therefore, the rabbis decreed that we should move tikiyas shofar to Mosaf. Why? Therefore, again, what happens? When the Gentiles see that we've been in shul in the morning, and we're davening, and we're saying Shema and Shemona Esrei, and laning and davening again, and then we're blowing shofar, they'll realize that what? The blowing of the shofar is not a declaration of war, but rather what? But ultimately, again, a part of our tefillah. So I will say, so either way, we seem to have machlokis about the societal factors that caused the moving of the shofar, but to Musa, but the bottom line is the same, that even though, again, there is this consideration of Zrizin Maktim and Mitzvos, out of a concern of the Chayshinan Shema Yachzer Davar L'Kulkulo, out of a concern that as long as we live in the diaspora, there is always Chas V'Shalom the possibility for persecution. Therefore, we maintain what we'll call persecution practices. So standard operating persecution practices is that we keep shofar in the afternoon, either under certain circumstances to avoid detection, or perhaps under different circumstances to avoid any feeling of, any possibility of antagonizing our Gentile rulers. And even though, again, there's a compelling reason to say Zrizim Akhtim Lamitzos, we keep shofar in the afternoon. Says the Gemara. Let's go a little bit weiter. So the Gemara says, Michla de Rosh Hashanah, like a halal. I'll say, here's what's interesting. The Mishnah had two different discussions. The Mishnah had a discussion about tzkiyas shofar, and the Mishnah had a discussion about halal. But it's clear from the Mishnah that what? That the two do not overlap, and that there is no halal on Rosh Hashanah. And I will say, so the Gemara says, why is there no halal on Rosh Hashanah? My time. And I will say, again, remember, Rosh Hashanah should remember, actually get a halal on two different reasons. Why? First of all, it's Rosh Chodesh. But the truth is, that's weak. Because when we say halal on Rosh Chodesh, that's much more b'toras minhag. That's much more as a custom, as a rabbinic ruling. That's not a biblical halal. The proof to that is what? It's only a half halal. But interestingly enough, when we recite halal on Yom Tov, so that's a complete halal, that there's a biblical mandate behind it. Rosh Hashanah, again, forget about being Rosh Chodesh, is Yom Tov. So why not recite halal? To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avahu, listen to this. Amru Malachi Asher Sefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels said before God, Ribono Shel Olam Mipnei Ma Ein Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha. So the Gemara records over here that the Malachim came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a taina, with a complaint against Klal Yisrael. Why don't the Jewish people say Hallel before you on Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippurim, and on Yom Kippur? Remember, these are Yomim Tovim, and yet your children don't say Hallel. Amar Lahem, to which God responds on our behalf. Amar Lahem, Efshar Melech Yoshev Akisei Din, V'Sifrei Chaim V'Sifrei Meisem P'suchim Lefanav, V'Yisrael Omrim Shira. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is it possible that the king sits on the throne of judgment? The books of life and the books of death are open before him. And Yisrael should say Shira. And those will say, Shira is a song of celebration, a song of unadulterated happiness. As much as there is a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, and there is a mitzvah of simcha on Yom Kippur, but the simcha is tempered by the fear, and ultimately and there's confidence, but again, all of that is tempered by the incredible anxiety that is ultimately brought about, that is provoked by the notion that we're being judged. Therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I understand if they're not up to saying Shira because of the inherent anxiety of the days. All right, then we'll say we'll stop over here. We'll pick up back to regular schedule on Mirat Hashem tomorrow.
Sorry, Abby.